Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds this morning be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In today's gospel reading, we see Jesus standing before Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea. And Pilate represents the power of the Roman Empire, an empire built on control, violence, and fear. And in Pilate's world, kingship means domination. It means soldiers, swords, and a throne built on the backs of the oppressed. So when Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" It's not a question of faith. It's a question of power. Pilate wants to know, is Jesus a threat to Rome? Now, to understand Pilate's question, we need to step into his world a little bit. In the time of Jesus' ministry, Judea was a volatile province under Roman rule. The empire maintained order through military force, heavy taxation, and a network of local collaborators like the Herodian kings and temple authorities. Resistance movements simmered constantly. Groups like the Zealots wanted to overthrow Rome by force, while others sought to survive by compromising with their oppressors. And into this fraught environment came Jesus, a teacher and healer who attracted large crowds and proclaimed a kingdom of God. To Pilate, this could look like the beginnings of rebellion. Pilate's role as governor wasn't about justice. It was about keeping peace at any cost. And Rome's version of peace, Pax Romana, wasn't peace as we think of it. It was order imposed through violence. Pilate had the authority to execute anyone he perceived as a threat to his order, and he didn't hesitate to use it. Historical accounts, including those of the Jewish historian Josephus, portray Pilate as a brutal enforcer of Rome's will, a man who wouldn't think twice about spilling blood to maintain control. So Pilate's question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" is loaded. It's a question about rebellion, about politics, about whether Jesus is challenging the empire. And Pilate sees power in terms of armies and domination. But Jesus' response to Pilate's question is striking. "My kingdom is not from this world." And with those words, Jesus redefines kingship entirely. His kingdom doesn't rely on force or fear. It's built on truth, love, and justice. And Pilate can't comprehend this kind of power. He can't see a kingdom that doesn't depend on violence. But Jesus' words challenge not just Pilate. They challenge us too. We live in a world where power often looks like Rome's version. Control, domination, the ability to impose your will on others. Whether it's in politics, corporations, or even personal relationships, the temptation to seek power for our own security or gain is everywhere. But Jesus shows us another way. His power doesn't crush, it heals. His authority doesn't divide, it reconciles. His kingdom isn't about fear, it's about love. The late public theologian William Stringfellow once said, "In the face of death, live humanly. In the middle of chaos, celebrate the word. In the shadow of empire, proclaim the gospel." That's what Jesus does in this moment with Pilate. He stands in the shadow of the greatest empire the world had ever known, an empire that claimed to be invincible, and he proclaims a truth that exposes its lies. Rome claimed that Caesar was Lord, that Caesar was the source of peace and security, but Jesus proclaims a different lordship, a different kingdom, a different peace. God's. And here's the thing, Jesus isn't just standing up to Pilate for his own sake. He's standing up for all of us. His kingdom is a counter-narrative to every system of oppression and injustice. It declares that power rooted in domination will not have the final word. It declares that God's love is stronger than the empire's violence, and it invites us to live as citizens of this kingdom here and now. And this is especially important in a time when Christian nationalism has become a growing force. Christian nationalism takes the name of Jesus and uses it to justify control and exclusion. It wraps faith in the flag and says, this is what God wants. And we see this when faith is used to justify policies that harm the marginalized. When symbols of Christianity are wielded to intimidate or exclude, when the cross is turned into a weapon. But Jesus never sought political power for its own sake. His kingdom doesn't need domination to thrive. Instead, it calls us to challenge every form of oppression and to serve the most vulnerable. Christian nationalism confuses allegiance to Christ's kingdom with allegiance to earthly systems. And in doing so, it betrays the gospel. Reinhold Niebuhr's words ring true here. The church must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state. When the church aligns itself too closely with worldly powers, it loses its prophetic voice. We're not called to wield power in the empire's way. We're called to testify to a kingdom that transcends all human systems, a kingdom rooted in truth, love, and justice. So what does it mean for us to live as citizens of Jesus' kingdom? It means refusing to play by the rules of the empire. It means rejecting the politics of fear and embracing the politics of love. It means using whatever power we have not to dominate, but to serve. Jesus tells Pilate, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth." What truth are we testifying to in our lives? Are we speaking words of life, or are we reinforcing systems of harm? Are we lifting up the marginalized, or are we protecting our own comfort? Living in Jesus' kingdom isn't easy. It requires courage to stand for justice in a world that often punishes truth tellers. It requires humility to listen to the voices of the oppressed and to follow where they lead. It requires faith to believe that God's love is stronger than the empire's fear. And this work can feel overwhelming. People might even say it's naive. Indeed, Pilate's empire wasn't toppled overnight, and the systems of injustice in our world won't change overnight either. But the good news is that the resurrection reminds us that empire doesn't have the last word. Rome crucified Jesus thinking they had silenced him. But 3 days later, God said, "Not so." The resurrection is God's declaration that love wins, that justice prevails, that truth rises. William Stringfellow also reminds us that our task isn't to conquer, but to witness. The biblical witness, he writes, is that hope is fulfilled not by human effort, but by the vitality of God's presence in the midst of history. Our hope is not in our ability to fix the world alone, but in the power of God's kingdom breaking in through our acts of love, our words of truth, our pursuit of justice. So what is God calling you to do this week to testify to the truth? Maybe it's standing up for someone who's been silenced. Maybe it's creating space for voices that have been ignored. Maybe it's examining your own heart and asking, what am I holding on to that looks more like Pilate than Jesus? Whatever it is, do it boldly. Do it with love and do it knowing that you're not alone. The same Jesus who stood before Pilate stands with you today. The same Jesus who faced the cross gives you the strength to face whatever comes your way. And the same Jesus who rose from the grave is building his kingdom through you, one act of love at a time. Amen.